of this song. But it said he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was on the lonely hill of Golgotha. There he laid down his life for me. Now, if that isn't love,
hallelujah.
If that's not love, I mean, if you just think about that, about the verses, it says, even in his death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then he took him to paradise. And I thought, because of his love,
yes,
we have a chance.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I just thought about this, the song, and it just, I'm sorry, but it just touches me. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he loves me. That's why.
Because he loves me.
up our hands and praise the Lord. And thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Oh, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Well, let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. And thank God for His mercy. Oh, thank God for His love. Oh, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Now let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for our mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Well, let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Oh, thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Well, let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. And thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord, yes, for that greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Well, let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy, thank God for His love. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Well, let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy, thank God for His love. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Well, let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Well, let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Let us lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How's everybody doing this Easter? I want to say happy Easter to everybody. Y'all know what day this is? It's the day that almost 2,000 years ago our Lord rose from the grave, was seen by many. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. So happy Easter to y'all. Thank y'all for coming out. It's good to see Brother John. He's no stranger here, but we love Brother John, don't we? Getting to know him a little bit. We stayed at his house one time, him and Sister Rochella, and they treated my wife and I like kings and queens, and I thought, here's a good man. He don't even know me, and he gave up his master bedroom. He didn't know if we were going to go through his drawers or not. We didn't do it, Brother John. We got better teachings than that, but I thought, this is a good man, you know, so you can't help but like the McPhee family. I feel blessed and honored to have them here today. It's just so good to see Sister Nikki and Sister Amy and the kids here. And yeah, we're thankful for that. We go a long way back with the Ratliff family, and I remember how long has it been, Sister Elsie, since you were laying on that deathbed. Yeah, it's been, 16 years? It was actually February the 23rd. That's my birthday. I didn't know how many years it was, but my wife asked me on my birthday, she used to say, well, what do you want for dinner? Because we were so poor, we couldn't afford to go out to eat, so she'd say, I'll cook you something special. What do you want? So I told her I wanted Chinese vegetable stir fry. So I had just sat down to eat my Chinese vegetable stir fry, and Brother Smith called. He said, you want to go to the hospital with me and pray for this woman? I said, well, who is it? He said, well, I don't know. Or he said, but her sister goes to Brother Farmer's church there in Tennessee, and she'd been out of church for years. She used to go to church, Brother Benny's church. She'd been out of church for years, and she's laying in the hospital dying, and they want to know if and this is what Brother Smith said. They said they want to know if we want to go and pray for him, because they can't get down here quick enough, and then when she passes away, would you help prepare the funeral plans? And I thought, okay, well, I told my wife, I said, well, put this in the stove, I'll eat it when I get back. So Brother Smith came by and picked me up, and we got to the hospital. And I remember that waiting room, there must have been 30 people in there. At least there was Nikki, and there was Amy, there was Terry, there was Randy, there was Brenda, there was Gail, there was Al. Everybody was there. There was just, must have been at least 30 or 40 people there. And so they introduced themselves, and of course we couldn't remember anybody's name. We just remember everybody's crying and boo-hooing, because Mom and Grandma and Great-Grandma, and it was bad. It was bad, Sister Elsie. We found out, they told us, they said, she's probably going to die. But if she lives, she's going to be a vegetable. She'll be brain dead, you know, because it's just too much damage, and it's not good. And so the family was preparing for their mother and grandma to die, weren't y'all? Weren't you, Sister Gail? You were preparing your hearts. You were steeling yourself. And so we went in, and she couldn't talk because she had tubes down her throat. No, she was in bad shape. So Brother Smith asked her if she wanted to make her life right with God, and she wanted a piece of paper, and she wrote on there, like, yes, I do. And so we prayed for her, and nothing happened. I mean, there wasn't even a real good feeling in the room. Not like we were feeling the Lord here today, but we prayed, and there was no electricity go down through our body. I felt no hot oil on my hands. I felt no jolt from heaven. No cloud came over. kind of looked at Brother Smith, and he kind of looked at me, and we were both thinking, this woman's dead. I'm sorry, you know. So he told me on the way back, he said, well, Brother Durham, we're probably going to have to, you know, going to have to take care of the family and stuff. It's 2 weeks later. There was how many Ratliffs in church? Huh? 21 walked through the door. Oh, we thought God's miraculous. God not only healed Sister Elsie, and God's healed her many times. We used to call her God's little miracle poster child girl, because she'd been healed more times. Brother John, you got fingers on your hand. God's done a wonderful, miraculous thing. And then she came in, and then some of her family started coming in. And what made me think of that was when I saw Sister Nikki walk through the door. She came in, and just couldn't help but love Sister Elsie's children and grandchildren. Because Sister Elsie's mother, who had went to Brother Benny's church, she prayed. And God told her, she said, all your children are going to serve me. Isn't that what she said? So we took that to mean not only Sister Elsie, but Sister Elsie's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And God, you could see how he would reach out into the family and how they tried to serve God. And I remember we had a little horseback riding trip for the young people. And one thing I appreciated about Sister Nikki, and I always have, and I still do appreciate this about her, is she tried so hard to come in and be a part. She just wanted to just make herself a part. Did you know you can't, when you come into this, we'll never vote you in, and we ain't going to vote you out. You know, there's some churches, I went to a church one time, they put a little chair, and there was four or five of us stood right up there, and the pastor stood behind us and said, does anybody here know a reason why we can't let Roy Durham join this church? And I was afraid somebody knew me. Oh, I was so afraid that somebody knew me before I became a Christian, they'd say, yeah, I saw him, what he did. Don't let him join his church. You know what the Bible says about that? It says God added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're here today, that's because you should be saved. If you're here today, that's because God loves you. It's because God wants to save you. You should be saved. Hallelujah. But they came in, and Sister Nikki and the rest of them, they tried really hard to fit in. And we had a horseback riding trip. And when Sister Nikki came in, she saw that our women dressed a little bit different than they did, and she tried, bless her heart, she tried real hard. And we went on a horseback riding trip, and I think she went out, and I don't know if she borrowed this jean skirt or what, but it wasn't immodest, but it was, you know, you couldn't hardly walk in it. Couldn't hardly walk in it, and she was trying to get on that horse in that tight jean skirt. And she looked over at my wife, and she said, how do you get on? My wife said, I guess you'll just have to stand up. Do you remember that, Sister Nikki? She got on the horse somehow, and I thought, that's been her spirit ever since. Just let me get on the horse. You know, just let me get on and let me ride somehow. And she's shown that down through the years. God, if God adds you to this church, he'll give you the wherewithal. You know, sometimes when you come into church, especially if you don't know them, especially if this is new to you, it all looks different. You think, what am I going to do? Well, God would say on you, just get on the horse. It may be uncomfortable a little bit at the beginning, but get on and everything will be all right. We have a saying around here, and that is just grab on and hold on, and God will add you to the church. And you know the good thing about it? If God adds you to the church, when you get the Holy Ghost and you become his child, ain't nobody can separate you from the love of God. You can separate yourself from the love of God. Oh, you can hit a little bump. You can take a short recess, but you're always his child. He never stops loving us. He's always after us. Like it says in Psalms, it says, if I make my bed in hell, you know, you can have your life in such a hellish condition. But oh, I'm telling you, I've been in that kind of condition before. I've been away from God. I've been where I just wasn't happy with myself, wasn't happy with the way I was living. But God, he was right there waiting for me to turn around. What's that song? He was there all the time. What's the verse? Life's, how's that go? Life's what? He was there all the time. Well, yeah, but what's the first verse?
Time after time,
yeah, oh, I'm telling you, I've been away from God, and I, you know, like Jesus said, he said, I came to bring peace. He said, not as the world gives peace. Did you know you aren't going to find peace out in the world? You aren't going to find happiness out in the world, because out in the world, happiness is dependent upon things. But real peace in God depends upon our relationship with God. And you can finally get to the place where it don't matter what's going on in your life, you have peace, you have joy, and you have love because we fell in love with our Lord Jesus. And I saw the Ratliff family. They fell in love with him. And then I remember we used to have youth camps, Camp Wakanda. Y'all remember that? I remember we videotaped them, and they were wonderful services. Came in, and a lot of the Ratliff family was there. A lot of them got the Holy Ghost, all passed out on the floor, speaking in tongues. I remember some of them, you know, until they found out why we don't wear mascara. Some of them would come in, their faces just turned black with those streaks, because they were crying so much. And they thought, okay, that's why we don't wear that when we're coming to church. Because I remember one time, Brother Don Patton, this woman came up for prayer one time. And around here, when you ask us for prayer, we pray for you. We don't just say, oh, Lord, touch him. We get down and we pray for you. So this woman came up for prayer, and everybody gathered around him and started praying, and she started crying. You know, sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you just can't help but cry. You ever feel that way? I remember when I was a 16-year-old boy, hard-hearted. I was already hard-hearted and headed in a bad direction. And I went to church one day. My mom made me go to church. So I was living at home, and so I went. She said, if you don't go to church on Sundays, then you can't run around on Saturday nights. So I liked running around on Saturday nights with my friends. And so I said, I'll go to church. And somebody got up, and they started talking about the love of God. They started talking about how good it would feel to have all your sins lifted off of you. And I didn't even know I was carrying a heavy weight. Do you know that? You can walk around in this world and not even know that you're burdened down. Oh, but somebody told me one day, they told me how good it was to have that weight lifted off of you. And I remember I was sitting in the very back pew with my family. All of a sudden, tears started rolling down my eyes. A 16-year-old boy that was hard-hearted. It's already breaking into people's houses, already doing things at 16. Oh, I'm telling you, we were bad. I'm not real happy of the situation I came from. Somebody said, I wish I would have been born in church. I wish I would have been born in the body. I wish I had the testimony that I used to sleep on these church pews when I was little, that I heard the word of God, that I've never been out of church, but I wasn't. My life was different from some of y'all's. But I sat back there in the back, and tears started running down my face because I felt something I'd never felt before, and that was the Holy Ghost. Ooh, you know that feel good. It says God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever might believe on him should not perish. God don't want us to perish, but he wants us to have everlasting life. And I started feeling some of that life, and I ran down to the front. And I was down there for a long time, and when I stood up, oh, I just felt so light. I felt so good because I had asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I felt a burden of sin lift off me. Oh, it felt good. Do you remember that? Can y'all remember back to the time when Jesus came into your heart for the first time, and you said, Lord, I don't know anything about you, but I know I'm feeling something, and I want to give my life to you. You know, he wants our all. Did you know God wants our all? He's interested in everything. He don't demand it all right at the very start because he knows you can't give it all. But he knows as we grow in him that ultimately he wants everything that we have. We got to be willing to give everything to him. And I said, Lord, come into my life. Take everything I have. And I got it from that altar, and I felt light. I felt good. I felt a burden of sin lift off my heart, and I became a new person. And then I remember the Ratliff family. We had that Camp Wakanda, and they were rough. Brother Smith was talking about Brother Al the other day, how rough he was. You wouldn't know it now. Look at him now. He's just a saint in the church. He's just a good saint. And I like to call him one of Jesus' precious little lambs. but he ain't always been that way. He was once your brother Al, sister Sister Elsie. They were, well, look at him now. Look how God's changed him. So they came in and they started going to church, and we had Camp Wakanda. And you looked out there, and they were all slain in the spirit, crying, the Holy Ghost moving on them. And then they all got baptized. Well, we baptized, what, 19 Ratliffs? Was it 19 Ratliffs that day we baptized or something like that? We filled the pool up with them. It was a big pool. We filled the pool up with Ratliffs. In fact, for a while, we thought we were going to have to change the name of the church to Church of the Ratliff. They'd come in, they'd fill up half the church. But you can't get away from this. Once you're born into this, God will follow you. He'll keep dealing with you. He loves us. Thank God for his love. Thank God that he sent his son down to die for us. It says he didn't come down because we were so good or because we were so worthy, but he came down because we needed a Savior. And when he came down, he came all the way down. Hallelujah. And he walked among men, and he loved us. Brother Michael once in a while sings that song, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." Oh, don't you know that he came down here because he loved us? He wanted to reach out to us. Someone got up and preached a message Friday night in Dallas and said, "Jesus came to touch people." Hallelujah. Did you know that one of the worst sins, one of the worst things that could happen to you, the worst thing that could happen to you, back in the time of Jesus, was to get leprosy? It was a death sentence. A death sentence. And that's a type of sin. Did you know before you come to God and ask him to come into your heart, you got a death sentence on your life? And that is, you're going to die. And that is, you're walking around dead in the trespasses of your sins. That's what the Bible says. But oh, and you had to wear a certain type of clothes, and you had to walk around hollering, "Unclean, unclean," because if anybody was to touch you, they would be ceremonially unclean, and they could touch that disease. And so when you saw somebody dressed a certain way with a napkin over their face hollering unclean, you would avoid them. Well, you know, that's how we were. That's how we were. We were dead in the trespasses of sin with the stink of sin on our life. But God sent his son down, and he saw that leper, and he reached over and he touched that person. Oh, don't you remember the first time God touched you? Don't you remember how good that felt when you felt the good Holy Ghost and he reached down and touched your life? No doubt that's how that person felt. And Jesus touched that person and said, "Be clean." And the leprosy immediately left that person. I'm glad he's still touching us today. I'm glad that his arm is long enough to reach out to whatever situation you're in today. If he can reach down and touch a 16-year-old hard-hearted boy, he can reach down and touch anybody today. So I'm thankful for his mercy, for his loving kindness, for his forgiveness. And I'm glad to be here today. Wanted to open up service and welcome everybody here. Some of you know and some of you we don't know, but we're thankful for everybody here today. God bless y'all.
Goes. Y'all got the words that he was there all the time. He was there all the time. We'll start off there, it'll be fine. We'll go, you just have the courses all you got. was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there time after time. I went searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all of my ills in this world I was living in. Surface relationship use me till I was done in. And all the while someone was begging to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time, and never again will I search for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I've found the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with him is such a blessed life. Oh, what I've missed, he's been waiting right there all the time. He was there. Was there all the time?
really not going to testify, but it will be a testimony in a way. This is for a prayer request. I talked to my youngest brother this week, and Brother John knows him. They are together on Tuesdays, and they've known each other at sales for years. But my youngest brother had a heart attack last fall, and it was on a Saturday night, and he didn't know that it was a heart attack until about 3 days later, and he thought he'd better go to the doctor. Well, he had, I think, 4 or 5 blockages, but they only did 3 bypasses, and because they were doubled in the same artery. And then after that, he came down with prostate cancer. And this is one thing after another. And Clyde Jr. has never been sick. He's never been in the hospital. And we were talking about this. It was probably Thursday. And he said he went to the doctor the other day for a checkup. And his doctor told him, he said, Clyde, he said, you shouldn't be here. He said you could have died that night, and you didn't know that you were having a heart attack. He suffered, but he just thought that it was just gas, indigestion, and that's what it feels like, because he knows. And he said, Brenda, he said, I'm going to tell you a dream I had a little after Mother died. He said, I came in the house, and she was sitting in her recliner. And he said to her, he said, well, what are you doing here? Because she's in the grave. And she just looked at him. And most of you people that do know my mother, she had the sweetest smile. And she just smiled at him. And he broke down and started crying. He said, here I go. And I said, Clyde, it's okay. He said, there's a purpose why I survived a heart attack. He said, there's a purpose in all of this. And I started telling him, I said, Clyde Jr., you've never been saved. I've never known of you going to the altar, kneeling at the altar, and asking God to forgive you for your sins. And I said, you've never been baptized. I said, Eddie has never been baptized. And I said, you need to get baptized. I said, you need to start going to church. And of course, I told him about Brother Bobby. He knows Brother Bobby real well. He graduated in high school with Brother Bobby's sister. They've been family for years, ever since in the first grade. And I talked to him about the Lord. And he said, well, I've been thinking about it. He said he had a friend, which we grew up with, his mother and daddy. His name was Jim Boatman, and you probably know him. His mother and dad were Pentecostal preachers, and Jim went out into the world and has never been redeemed since then. And Jim's in the hospital right now in bad shape. And I said, Clyde Jr., you could be an asset to a lot of those people that were young people at your age in that community. I said, you need to go to Brother Bobby. And he was just crying. And so I told him, I said, Clyde Jr., please do something about your salvation, because I said, time is closing in on us. I said, we're not getting any younger. He just turned 60. And I said, you know, he said, well, I don't understand it. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, it's our mother that laid up and stored up all this mercy for her family. I said, Grandpa and Grandma Spencer did too. I said, it's just by his grace and his mercy that we're here. Our family has been so blessed. God has kept his hands on our family. And I said, you need to start looking to the Lord. And he's had dreams. The Lord has really been dealing with him. And I thought about today, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. If you're not saved, now's the time to be saved. Go to that altar. Everybody go to that altar. Just ask the Lord to forgive you, because we don't know what the next hour is going to be. If nothing else, get saved and be baptized. That's the main thing. Then let the Lord deal with you on the rest of it. Go to church. That's the main thing. Just go to church. Because I feel like that this is God's time for in-gathering. We've just got to reach out and encourage the people. But I just want y'all to pray, really pray for Clyde Jr. Because he could be an asset to so many people up there. He was calling out names. My family has been a well-known family in the northwest part of Arkansas. My daddy was known everywhere. My mother was known everywhere up in that part of the country. They knew her as a preacher and a singer. But she never did preach at people. Never did try to convert them. She was just living a testimony. My daddy, he was saved in the Baptist church. And that's wonderful. That's okay. He was saved. But when he was in his late 80s, I took him up to Brother Merle's. I was up there for a vacation. And we went to Brother Merle's. And Daddy was hurting so bad. He went up for prayer. And I've never seen my daddy go for prayer. And Brother Kenneth prayed for him. And I went up there with Daddy because he wasn't very steady. And the Lord blessed him. And my daddy started talking in tongues. And my father got the sweet Holy Ghost before he died. And I'm just so thankful that God has blessed our family and there's still hope for the rest of them.
To be here today, and I want to say how thankful I am for the privilege of going to the Dallas meeting. It was such a blessing. There's no word to say how the Spirit came in, the presence of God, and it was just amazing. I'm so thankful for the privilege of going. If you had known me then, the way I was before, then you'd understand why I can't hold back the tears. Now my life is so different since I gave it to the Lord, and I want to give him glory while I'm here. I stand before you knowing that it's only by his grace that I am just what I am today. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of his love. I'm a part of the results of the old rugged cross that was stained with his precious blood. Though I'll never understand why he died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Oh, there is no way that I can repay His love, and the mercy He's shown is more than life to me. Well, there's nothing I can do or say that would be enough to pay the debt of sin He paid for me. My life's a testimony of His mercy, love, and grace. And one day I will thank Him face to face. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love. I'm a part of the results of the old rugged cross that was stained with His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love. Part of the results of the old rugged cross that is stained with His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died in my place, but look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Know me then, the way I was before, then you'd understand why I can't hold back the tears. Now my life is so different since I gave it to the Lord, and I want to give Him glory while I'm here. I stand before you knowing that it's only by His grace that I am just what I am today. I'm a trophy of grace, a sense of His love. I'm a part of the result from the old rugged cross that was stained with His precious blood. Though I'll never understand died in my place, but look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love. I'm a part of the results of the old that was stained with His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died in my place, but look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Oh, there is no way that I can repay his love.
Oh, hallelujah.
But the mercy he's shown is more than life to me. There's nothing I can do or say that would be to pay the debt of sin he paid for me. My life's a testimony of his mercy, love, and grace. And one day,
hallelujah,
I will thank him face to face. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of his love. I'm a part of the results of the old rugged cross that was filled with his precious blood. Oh, I'll never understand why he died. Because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. I'm a trophy of grace. A display of his love. I'm a part of the results of the old rugged cross that was stained with his precious blood. Though I'll never understand why he died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of his love. I'm a part of the results of the old rugged cross that was stained with his precious blood. Though I'll never understand why he died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. I'm a trophy of
God. That was a beautiful song. I don't know, I probably couldn't hardly get the words, but that was a beautiful song because I know I'm saved by grace. And all my loved ones are too, whether they know it or not. I think Sister Brenda was talking about her mother laying up treasures up in heaven, so that's a good reason for me to keep climbing this mountain. For God's grace and his mercy. And the blood he shed on the cross for me. And I'm so thankful for that. Brother Durham, you talking about, can I remember when he took that heavy burden off my shoulders? And I didn't know it was the burden of the world or my sins or I needed something lifted off of me. You know, I just know we got about 100 emotions going on in our minds and different things come in our lives, and we just think about, well, I'll get through this. So, you know, what I even saying, I know God will help me through this. I know how to say that now. God will help me through this. And, you know, and I was young, and I didn't know that I really needed God to lift my burdens off my shoulders. And I went to church, you know, when I was young, every Sunday, but did not knowing that I was still not really serving God. I didn't make that connection. I didn't dedicate myself. It was a, I guess you could say, just a physical thing, just you're supposed to do because you was raised like that. You just go to church on Sundays because my grandma said so, you know. Grandma say so, so you go, you know. So, and that was good because she planted that in me, you know. Some of us probably get that early. Some of us probably get it later on, as you were saying. But God's mercy and his grace is sufficient through anything I go through. And sometimes some burdens do be heavy, and you just keep saying, God, are you close? Are you near? Well, that song was saying, I'm in line. He's always there. You just get in line and ask him and talk to him. And I'm just thankful today that he does hear me. He hears my prayers. He hears my whining, my complaining. And I try not to complain much, but forgive me for my ignorance, and Lord, when I do complain, because I'm just trying to get closer to you. And, you know, and once I get closer to him, I'm sure he'll take me on to another level. And then I think I'm growing some more, and I whine again. So he'll still help me. He still listens to me. He still hear me. He loves me. And that's how, you know, as a child of God, as a mother, that's unconditional love. You know, when you're a mother, you think that your children can hurt you, and you can, I can't get through this, Lord, why they just do me like this? But that unconditional love, you pray and you ask God to give you strength, and he does. He does it every time. I can't remember a time that he didn't give me strength to keep climbing, keep serving him, and don't give up. I haven't left you, you know, because if I keep crawling, I'll never grow in God. I never understand his will for my life, because that's the most important thing, is his will for my soul. You know, you just quoted John 3:16. He died for those who love God. He gave his only begotten son. And he had me in mind. And he has my loved ones in mind, because, you know, he's just that kind of God. Isn't he just that kind of God? I know everybody can testify to that. You know, God, if he can reach his hand way down here and touch my life. Oh, Brother Durham, I don't even want to say what I was doing at 16. But I know I wasn't serving God like I should have, you know. And I think that's just being walking in darkness. You don't know. You don't know. You just do what you know, you know, and that's the things that's in your environment, that's around you. You just do what you know to do, and you do know right from wrong, you know, but you try to scheme through that, you know, hoping you don't get caught if you're doing something wrong. But